From WGCU, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Thousands of cancer patients lack a ride to the treatments they need to stay alive. Some don't have access to a vehicle. Others are simply too sick to drive themselves or use public transportation. Patients often face acute dietary restrictions or unique nutrition needs during and after their treatment. We'll talk with the people behind a volunteer program at the American Cancer Society working to help cancer patients get to their life-saving treatments. We'll also talk to a local chef with a special program to create health-conscious meals and deliver them to patients. And it's called Grab More, and it's the first novel by Southwest Florida author and historian Glenn Miller. He spent decades writing, reporting, and telling stories about Southwest Florida. Coming up, he'll talk about how those experiences shaped his new book and how he mixes the story with local history. But first, the news. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Glenn Miller spent nearly three decades as a reporter in Southwest Florida, covering everything from sports to politics to theater. Now he's written a new novel called Grab More, set in Southwest Florida, and weaving in local history and places from downtown Fort Myers to Everglades City. Coming up later in the program, we'll talk to Miller about his new book and how it draws on the history of our region. But first, every year, Southwest Florida sees thousands of new cancer cases. Fighting cancer is the top priority for these patients, but other problems have a way of creeping into the picture. Problems like transportation. Just getting to the numerous medical appointments they need to survive can be almost impossible without someone to help. That's why the American Cancer Society started its program Road to Recovery, which provides a lift, literally and figuratively, to people whose disease has left them stranded. Here to talk about that program, we have Beth Hayes with the American Cancer Society. Beth, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you for having me.
Another seemingly insurmountable task for cancer patients is getting fed. Going to a restaurant loses its appeal, and without the energy to do a lot of home cooking, nutrition can become an afterthought. Here to talk about how her company helps deliver meals to the homes of patients with unique dietary needs is Amber Phillips with Sage Catering. Welcome.
Thank you, Julie.
We're talking about helping cancer patients on their road to recovery. What experiences have you had, and how can you help? Share your thoughts at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Beth Hayes with the American Cancer Society. There are a lot of programs that you offer to help people and their families as they battle cancer in our area. We'll talk about some of those programs a little bit later on, but I wanted to hear more about this Road to Recovery program.
Yeah, our Road to Recovery program is our signature program that actually offers rides to and from cancer treatment for patients. It is a volunteer-driven program itself, and volunteers volunteer their time, their energy, their gas, and their own vehicle to get patients to and from cancer treatment.
And it's just to the treatments and doctor appointments and stuff?
Correct. Anything related to the cancer.
So who is your average patient that you have in the Road to Recovery program?
Our patients range anywhere from early in their 20s to later on in their 70s. We have even transported some pediatric patients before. So it really just depends on the need.
So pediatric patients would need... How did that work out?
They only have to have a parent with them, but they get transported to treatment just like an adult would.
And these are parents that don't have cars?
They might have cars, but they might not have money for insurance, or they might not have money for gas, or they might have a one-car family and the other parent has to work, don't have transportation for their child.
And then you also have the medical bills.
Correct. Absolutely.
Are not fun for anyone.
Correct.
But when you're sitting there by yourself and you have to get to a doctor's appointment.
Absolutely.
Have you driven any of these patients yourself?
I have not. As staff, we are not permitted to drive.
Okay.
It's completely volunteers.
So who volunteers? What kind of people do you have?
We have amazing volunteers. I spoke with a gentleman today that he's driving one patient to and from treatment every day for 6 months. And it just depends. We have a lot of retirees. So during season, we have a lot of patients and a lot of requests for patients getting to treatment, but we have a lot more drivers during season.
I would guess that they have they kind of develop a relationship with somebody if they're going to daily doctor's appointments.
Absolutely.
And that probably helps, I would imagine, the patient having someone there to talk to.
I hear from patients all the time that say that they could not get through this without the support and the transportation from these drivers.
So what are some of the reasons that people in our area come to rely on the Road to Recovery program?
Well, a lot of the reason is just because that their treatments could be as frequent as every day, or they could be far enough apart where they have time to actually experience the side effects from treatment. So they might not be able to drive themselves with medication and that sort of thing.
Oh, okay. So are there problems with the medication and interfering with their ability to drive a car? It doesn't happen immediately, though.
Well, sometimes it does. I mean, I had a friend recently who went through treatment, and he was on Oxycontin and morphine, and he obviously could not be driving under those circumstances.
Yeah, no, you don't want to drive with that. So how many patients begin treatment with no transportation, or do they find themselves to be with no transportation somewhere in the middle?
I think it normally starts at the beginning. As soon as they're diagnosed, they can call our 1-800 number, and they can get plugged into all the programs and services, and that's one of the first questions that they're asked, if they have transportation to and from treatment.
And what percentage of the people, I mean, of your work that you do ends up being dedicated to that? I mean, is there a huge need?
Right now, probably 80% of my job is spent on road to recovery, recruiting drivers and just plugging in with volunteers and getting them to treatment.
How many drivers do you have right now?
I cover 10 counties, so I have a lot of different drivers. I probably have 260 that are active in my program.
Wow, that's a lot of rides.
Mm-hmm, it is.
And that's a lot of people that were feeling kind of alone, I imagine.
Absolutely.
Amber Phillips with Sage Catering. You help deliver meals to people with all sorts of dietary restrictions, gluten sensitivities, food allergies, things like that. But cancer patients have special dietary needs as a result of their treatments. And I wanted to ask you, what kind of meals do these people battling cancer need?
Well, in doing our research, we already eliminated the gluten. But one of the first and foremost things that are most important with the cancer is to eliminate sugar, all sugar. Sugar basically feeds the cancer, so we eliminate that. Also, due to doctor suggestions, we limit the vitamin K to 25% or 30%. And then we don't use any processed foods whatsoever. And we always say to eliminate processed foods immediately if they are battling cancer or any reason, even before cancer, more of a preventative. We avoid garlic. We limit our onions. And we also limit the fungus, like mushrooms. There's some fungus in like peanuts and cashews. We make sure we cook those things thoroughly. And then really just the sugar, and we also, we are very strong advocates of using organics and all the preservatives and the pesticides, avoiding.
Well, that's kind of like what you do anyway.
Yes,
that's
it is.
Kind of your wheelhouse, which is
absolutely
organic, pesticide,
correct,
minimally processed.
Mm-hmm. We just take it to the next level with the no sugar. We don't do refined sugar anyway, but we do watch the vitamin K for them.
And that's something that doctors have told you about?
Correct.
That vitamin K. And have you heard any? Have you heard about that?
I have, actually. My oldest daughter was diagnosed with cancer, and her nutritionist, the first thing they wanted us to cut out was sugar and vitamin K.
Sugar and vitamin K.
Mm-hmm. And that was a long time ago.
Oh, okay. Well, that's apparently this been known. I know that a lot of people that have chemotherapy end up having dry mouth and sore throats and things. Is there anything that you do specifically to try to help address that dryness?
Well, we promote using like bone broth and soups with our nutrient rich, and that way they can kind of coat that also, and they're getting all the nutrients that they need. And sometimes it's easier for them to digest with some of the effects of the treatment.
Well, they have very sensitive stomachs, and mm-hmm. you end up with I'm talking about this like a group of people, like, well, they have people that are undergoing chemotherapy, they will have a lot of upset stomach and kind of throw up pretty readily. Maybe having something that's liquid like that, there's some chance of something staying there. Could that be possible?
I believe it would be.
And I've also heard that a lot of the chemo patients experience a lot of metal taste, a lot of tin flavors and everything. So anything that has a softer taste is much more palatable for them.
Like softer taste. So maybe that's why garlic and onions might be a little tough.
Correct.
So flavor-wise, I mean, it does change your perception of taste.
Completely.
Mm-hmm.
And things have to taste good if you're going to want to eat it.
Absolutely.
Especially if you're not feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the last thing you want to think about. Wow. It's such a tough thing to deal with the nausea and the vomiting and things like that. These cancer treatments, they really kind of wipe out somebody's energy. You know, they get so tired. Are there any particular foods that might be suggested that could give somebody a boost of energy?
We definitely promote a higher protein diet, and also fresh fruit automatically will give you some energy. Legumes, quinoa is protein rich, has all the amino acids. Fatty fish like salmon is great with the triglycerides and the fatty acids and
the omega-3s, right?
Omega-3s, yes, and lean meats as well.
Lean meats.
Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned earlier that pork is not suggested?
Pork is not suggested in the research we've done.
In the research that you've done. Have you heard this?
I have not.
That one? There's so much out there. It's just kind of hard to keep up.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, if you just keep it limited, then you can do everything you can do. Because I know that as a person, when you're dealing with somebody that does have cancer, you want to do everything in the world you can that's in your control. I mean, I can't administer any of the medical stuff, but I can cook okay. And I can find somebody who can cook well and make sure to try to keep them as comfortable as possible. Do you have other things within your program, the American Cancer Society, that talks about dietary restrictions or just not restrictions, but ideas and helpful hints?
We have a couple cookbooks that we've published that have basically addresses all the side effects. Some of them might be the tin taste or an upset stomach or mouth sores. And there's a cookbook that we have. There's two of them and actually addresses each one of those issues.
Mm-hmm. And where do they find that?
They can call the 800 number, which is 800-227-2345, or they could call the local office at 239-936-1113.
And they call up and they just ask for it, or you come
they,
pick it up?
They
or?
Can call and they can ask. They will through the 800 number. Excuse me, through the 800 number, they'll be prompted as far as what exactly their needs are, and if it's a cookbook, they can take care of it that way.
Well, that's great. Well, keep your pens out because I want to give some more numbers. If you want to talk to us about helping cancer patients on their road to recovery, you can give us a call here at the studio at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK, or you can find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. Twitter, we are at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. These volunteers, they provide round trips one way?
They can do either one.
And do they wait in the parking lot for the people?
Sometimes they wait. Sometimes they go home. It just depends. We have a couple patients that are going through just radiation, so it's a half an hour. So a driver normally will take them and stay. Chemo normally is, you know, between 3 and 4 hours, so they might take them and drop them off and then come back and get them. Or somebody else might take the return trip.
I would imagine this would be a logistics difficult kind of to plan all this and make sure you have people in the right place at the right time?
Well, we have a new program called Service Match, which is identifying it's a web-based tool that patients and drivers can actually go in and see what's available for the request and everything. So it's actually we've kind of made it simple. Mm-hmm. Which is really nice.
Simple's easy, and people like that.
Absolutely.
How does somebody get involved if they want to be able to offer rides?
They call that 1-800 number again. Anything that we do, you can get access to that through the 1-800 number.
And we will have that on our website.
Perfect.
Too.
Thank
at
you.
WGCU News, in case somebody is driving and doesn't want to bust out a pen and get in an accident. Do not do that, please. We will have it on our website at WGCU News for anybody to check into. So what do they have to go through? Do they have to any kind of clearance? Is there a driving test?
There's not a driving test. There is a background check. So they have to have proof of insurance, proof of a DMV check, and then a small background check. And all that's done first, and then they're cleared to drive. Normally, it takes about 5 to 10 business days.
Well, that's not too long. Do you have challenges with the seasonal situation down here?
We do. During the off season, we are much more in need not just necessarily for requests, but for the drivers themselves.
Mm-hmm. And how would this differ from something like Uber? They have the ride-sharing stuff, apps on the phones and things like that. And can Uber help these people or why not?
Right now, the reason we are not partnering with any of the places like Uber or Lyft is just because of we do a stricter background check. Then we want to make sure that the patients and the drivers are vetted to make sure that everybody's safe.
Mm-hmm. If somebody has, you know, regular daily treatments and they don't have a ride to get there. Mm-hmm. What would be, if this wasn't here, what would be their other option? Would they be stuck in a hospital?
Most of the time, we would just have to try to find alternative treatment, either a cab or see if they're on a bus line or something like that. Otherwise, there's times when we have to just say that we do not have a driver to fill it. So they may not get to treatment, which is not what's anything that we want to have to happen.
Yeah, but I mean, if they can't get the treatment, I mean, I don't see, if somebody's stuck, there isn't a ride, and I'm not talking about you not having a ride, but just in general, if you weren't doing this, what would happen to these people?
Sadly, they wouldn't get to treatment, therefore they might not get the treatment needed to make them better.
Yeah, that would not be so good. Amber, do you have any extra tips? So if you're taking care of somebody at home and you're kind of a chef, but maybe not really great. Do you have any tips for home chefs or people that are just trying to help take care of somebody?
Sure. Definitely number one is to eliminate the sugar. Go to an all organic diet if possible. No processed foods at all. Lean meats and high omega-3 fish. We only use wild caught only. We would suggest that.
That's what you would want to do anyway.
Mm-hmm, correct.
For you personally.
Yes.
Do you have any patients that you've, I mean, not patients, any clients that have been cancer patients that you've worked with in the past?
Yes, we have several.
What have been their specific requests? Do they have?
A lot of soups, really, because when they're going through the chemo part of it, just the keeping the food down, that way it's able to, you know, kind of nutrient rich and absorb into their system a little better. And the bone broth.
Bone broth. How do you make bone broth?
You just basically cook down the bone itself into with water and vegetables. And it's just basically a stock.
But so you just kind of throw in all the veggies you have mm-hmm. in your fridge.
Yep.
Except for mushrooms, yeah. Although I didn't know that about fungus either.
Yeah, it was interesting research that we found. Not all nuts, but cashews and peanuts do hold a little bit more fungus than others.
So you have to toast them, I would imagine.
Yes.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Just cook them down. We make sauce out of them.
Like a
pad thai, we use cashews instead of peanuts typically.
Yeah, that sounds great. Do you have? I'm getting hungry. Do you have any suggestions for people that are trying to take care of somebody at home as far as like dietary or anything? Or?
I just say is try to be mindful of their diet and what they're wanting. Sometimes they just don't want to eat. And so just not really forcing them to eat. But obviously they need protein to keep up their muscles and just to make sure that they're getting the nutrients that they need to absorb whatever small calories they are taking in.
Do you have any drivers that have been cancer patients before that are wanting to do this to give back?
I have many drivers that are – matter of fact, probably 90% of my drivers are cancer survivors. I spoke with a gentleman this morning who's driving one patient to treatment, the one I mentioned earlier. He was a year ago, October, he finished his treatment, and he said, I couldn't do enough to give back. And he said to this day, he said, I can't drive often enough. He just loves it so much because of his experience, and he knows the need.
I think that's really nice. That's really great that he wants to give back that way. I mean, that's just really – heartwarming. I'm sorry that he had to go through that, though, in the first place, of course. Well, we will have to leave it there today. Thanks so much for being here. I really appreciate you both coming in. Amber Phillips with Sage Catering and Beth Hayes with the American Cancer Society. We will have links to your websites and the phone numbers that you were talking about earlier so that anybody that's out there that didn't have a chance to write all that down can find out how to get a hold of you. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you, Julie. Appreciate it.
And for the valuable tips. Coming up, a comedic caper filled with more snark than a 2016 Facebook feed, Glenn Miller's debut novel, Grabmore, is based right here in Fort Myers. We'll talk with the author after this.